Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, folks, it's January. Happy New Year. You know what that means. It's time for some collector car auctions, and the big ones are all coming up this month, and we'll talk about that. That's going to be the primary focus of today's show. We'll also talk about a car collector down in Florida who's got a massive collection in his story. Of course, we'll talk about some weird and unusual automotive news. Of course, we'll talk gas prices, and then wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seat belts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Thank our friends at 4 Till 4 Coffee in Scottsdale for their very comprehensive update about what's happening with the car collector scene and the auctions this month. Well, Scottsdale kicks off the new year with the collector car tradition like no other. World-class auctions to laid-back meetups. It's time for collectors and car enthusiasts to celebrate their car culture. Join us for some of these exciting events, and the folks over at 4 Till 4 is going to have an event on the 18th. Stop by there through the 26th if you want to check it out every morning from 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. and they're in Old Town Scottsdale. Well, the calendar of events rolls on as follows. Barrett Jackson, the granddaddy, the big dog, January 18th through the 26th, and that's going to be at Westworld. Arizona Concours d'Elegance, which is going to be in a meetup event at January 19th at Scottsdale Civic Center. Bonham's Auction, January 25th at Weston Kierland, and the Sotheby Auction, and R.M. Sotheby, I should say, and that's going to take place the 23rd through the 25th. And we'll have some more details here. So first, let's talk about the R.M. Sotheby auction, January 23rd to the 24th. That's at the Arizona Biltmore. R.M. Sotheby specializes in high-profile vehicles with a carefully curated lineup. So if you're looking for very exclusive cars, then this is the auction for you. The selection at R.M. is always something special. Beautifully curated classics this year. No doubt they'll have their big special gala on the 24th, benefiting Juvenile Diabetes Research. What are some of the cars you should think about following? How about a 1958 Ferrari 250 GTB LWB Berlinetta Tour de France, estimated to fetch somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million. Now the folks over at 4 Till 4 have a couple picks. They like a beautiful 1962 300 SL Roadster, as well as a 1984 Audi Sport Quattro. If you're looking to get tickets for this event, well, you can head onto their website and check it out. Bonham's Auction is going to be at January 22nd through the 25th, and that's going to be located at the Weston Kierland Spa and Resort. If you're looking for some serious, good, and unique collector cars in a more intimate setting, then Bonham's might be the auction for you. There'll be 2 days of preview, Thursday the 22nd through Friday the 23rd. You can see a rare Lamborghini Miura P coupe chassis that's going to be sold, and their official schedule. Now, what cars would you think about at this auction from the guys over at 4 Till 4? Well, a 1961 Rover Series 2 88-inch hardtop, originally owned by Arthur Miller and his wife at the time, Marilyn Monroe. How about a 1984 Skyline RS Turbo Type DR30, and that's a touring car. And I tell you, the Skylines are really, really increasing in value. If you're looking to pick up a ticket for this event, you can go to the Bonham's Auction website and check it there, folks, out and get a price on that. Now, the Arizona Concours d'Elegance is going to be January 19th at the Civic Center. If you want to see some rare and unusual exotic cars, attend the Arizona Concours is a no-brainer. They'll feature over 100 unique vehicles in different classes. Also, it's a non-profit event that's going to benefit local artists. What are some of the cool cars? Well, as far as the categories, they're going to have exceptional early engineering, and that's going to be vintage cars from 1916 to 1927. They're going to have pre-war sports and race cars, avant-garde, 30s, 40s, and 50s, unique, unusual, and cutting-edge engineering. They're also going to have a collection of important historic motorcycles, and then mid-century modern engineering mastery, stylish 50s and 60s events. And you can get your events by heading over to their website, the Arizona Concours d'Elegance 2025. Now, Barrett Jackson, 2025, January 18th. January 18th through the 26th at Westworld in Scottsdale. Well, Barrett Jackson isn't just an auction. It's an event. It's a happening. It's a scene. The cars, the energy, the lineup of events keep car enthusiasts coming back year after year. Bidder or not, there is so much to see. And we don't think auction season in Scottsdale without first of thinking of Barrett Jackson. Barrett Jackson is going to be at Westworld in Scottsdale, and that's located in North Pima Road. How did Barrett Jackson start? Well, Barrett Jackson is a legacy of Russ Jackson and Thomas Barrett in the 60s. They started their passion for collector car vehicles, and over the decades, the auction has grown to quite a global sensation for enthusiasts, and it is definitely the flagship event for Scottsdale. Let's talk about some cars you might want to watch out for. You're going to see everything at Barrett Jackson, from Shelby Cobras to modern supercars to one-of-a-kind custom builds. But there's some specifically cool cars this year. How about a 1957 Alfa Romeo 1900C? Of course, everybody loves this car. A 1956 Mercedes-Benz SL300 Gullwing Coupe. That is one of the best-looking cars. And a 1989 Porsche 911 Carrera Singer. Now, if you don't know about the Singer, folks, I just found out recently about them through a friend of mine who's a collector. They will take apart your late 70s and 80s Porsche 911 only and completely rebuild it, a nut-to-bolt restoration of the car. Now, folks, we're looking at somewhere near $1 million to have Singer rebuild one of your cars, but in some ways, it'll actually be better than it was when it came off the Porsche floor. So if you're looking to attend as a visitor, well, general admission gives you advanced look at the auction. Bidder registration is still available. Now, if you're a bidder, you need to attend and be at early registration. Now, if you like some live music, which Jeff does, and Jeff will be there, well, you're in luck. Rock the Block this year features Sammy Hagar on January 19th. And if you don't remember, Sammy Hagar sold his LaFerrari last year for over $4 million. And it was so cool because the people who bought the car actually had an opportunity to fly with Sammy down in his private jet down to Cabo Wabo in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, for a performance of Sammy and the band, and then Sammy flew them home. So if you buy a $4 million Ferrari from Sammy Hagar, you get to fly in his jet and hang out at his concerts. Now, that last article failed to mention another auction, and that is the Motorsports Auction Group. It's called MAG, and that's going to be January 24th and 25th, and that's going to be at the Cubs Field in Sloan Park down in Mesa. And they'll have kind of a feature of muscle cars, street rods, classic vintage cars, and also leading automotive products from today. So that's another event you might want to check out to add to your auction events. Now, besides all the auctions, there's some other events going on. I'm going to run some of those down for you. We have Espresso and Engines, and that's going to be at the Androli Italian Grocer, and that's going to be on January 18th. The Mesa Cars and Coffee, and it's Car Week Edition. That's going to be at Dana Park Shopping Center, and that's going to be on January 18th. At the Phoenix Triumph location, British Bikes and Coffee, and that's going to be on January 18th as well. Muscle Cars in Mesa at the Streetside Classics car dealership is on the 18th. The Penske Racing Museum meetup on January 18th as well. Supercars at Sunset at Echelon Auto Sports. As I mentioned, the guys at 4 till 4 Coffee and Cafe is going to have their shakedown event on January 18th. And then there's just, as we reviewed all the different auctions, and let's see. And then there's also going to be the BAT Alumni Gathering at Bagels and Bull, and that's at the Auto Car Club. And of course, we couldn't forget the Pavilion's Rock and Roll Car Show, which happens every Saturday, but you're going to have a special edition of that on January 25th, and there'll be lots and lots of cool cars there. So folks, January is the month for collector cars. We'll talk a little bit more detail over the course of the next couple weeks about some more specifics. And also, too, January 17th through the 26th is Get Out and Drive Your Collector Car. I certainly plan on getting that Mustang 1984 SVO out on the road. Well, as you know, one of my favorite magazines to read articles from for the car show is, of course, Old Cars Weekly. And we have a great article about Michael Deezer and 10 questions for Michael Deezer. Well, when you combine the collector car disease with a billionaire, well, crazy things can happen. And Michael Deezer is the ultimate example of that. A business and real estate mogul based in New York and Miami. Well, he has assembled probably the largest private collection of cars in the world. And he proudly shows them off at his Orlando Auto Museum. The shrine is housed at what's called Deezerland Park, a sprawling former shopping center mall that Deezer has transformed into a busy tourist attraction and a fitting home for his mind-boggling fleet of some 2,000 cars. Deezer's collection includes exotics, supercars, almost every American car imaginable from the 50s to the 60s, and what is to believe to be the largest assortment of TV and movie cars in existence, highlighted by a huge and very valuable group of James Bond movie cars and collectibles. Deezer's lofty accomplishments in real estate are the towering achievements in Florida, together with his sons Gil, the two hobbyists, biggest movers and shakers in Miami, and have had a big hand in such projects as the Trump Grand Ocean Resort and Residence, the Trump Towers, and the uber luxury Porsche Design Tower, which includes a Deezeator, a fully automated car elevator patented by the Deezers that allows wealthy high-rise dwellers to take their cars to their penthouses and their luxury suites. Deezer, as you can imagine, is a fun guy to talk about, and Old Cars caught up with him for a 10 questions treatment. All right. Do you remember the first car you bought, and what's the story behind that? Well, I was born in Israel, and my first vehicle was a Vespa, a 1967 Vespa. And after that, I bought a Harley. Then I joined the Israeli army. At one time, when I came home, my father and mother said, "Why are you risking your life on that Vespa and that Harley? Sell the two bikes and we'll lend you the rest of the money to buy a car." Well, at that time I was 18 and a half and said, okay. I found a 1949 Plymouth that belonged to a doctor. It was in really bad shape, but I made it one of the best hot rods in Israel. Today I have 15 of them in my collection. I love the 49 Plymouths and the Studebakers. I love them too. The 49s and the 50 with the bullet nose, well, I have 14 of those. I really much buy what I like. Well, how did the collector car thing start? And how did you make a conscious decision to start accumulating vehicles? When I came to America in 1962, I bought a 1950 Plymouth in New York. That's where I went to school, and I loved it. After a few years, I bought a Cadillac and left that outside in the snow. Then I found another one and another one. It's a disease, you know. Well, and I have that disease. But I was still a poor student, but I got my MBA, and then I started getting good jobs. My first new car was a Dodge, four-door, 1965. Then I drove Cadillacs all the time, and in the 80s, I started growing my collection to what it is now. I bought an old Chevy dealership and put the cars that I had, which at that time was about 30 to 35 cars, and my friends would come over and we'd have a good time. But I never thought about, well, the collector car thing. And then I had a guy who said, "Hey, Michael, I want to buy a whole dealership from you. Give me a price." Well, I gave him a price, and it was $1 million profit. I said, "Well, I'm going to buy a second building in Manhattan." Eventually, you moved your collection from New York to Miami. What was that big move all about? Well, about 30 years ago, I auctioned off a bunch of cars with Dean Cruz. I sold the ones that I wanted to sell and sent the other ones to Miami. And I brought them to Miami and found a place that we called Deezerland, a car museum. Then I said, "Well, I need cars of all kinds, not just cars from the 50s and 60s. I wanted all kinds of cars." And that's when I started buying car collections. All right, question. You don't really enjoy selling your cars. Was it tough to sell a chunk of your collection back then? Well, then we were happy because we knew we were going to Miami and we were going to start something big. And we'd already purchased a 25,000 square foot building, 250,000 square foot building, and then a number of years in Miami. And then we went to Orlando, and then we had 1 million square feet. What kind of cars are you interested in, and what kind of cars do you prefer to collect? Well, I used to go to a lot of auctions with my wife, and we'd specialize in American convertibles from 1945 to 1960. I had one from at least every year in every car, and after we opened Deezerland, I said, well, we need all kinds of cars, not just cars from the 50s and 60s. I wanted all kinds. That's when I started buying car collections. And it's not hard to buy more cars because I know cars are like money in the bank. They go up in value, and very rarely do I sell a car. I mean, if you give me a crazy number, I'd probably sell it, but I rarely do. Question, what are some of the things that you are known in your car? Well, what about the James Bond and other collections? How did that come about? Well, a woman in England who finds cars for me said, Mr. Deezer, there's a dentist here who has a nice Bond collection. He wants to sell two or three cars. I said, well, why? He said, well, his wife is divorcing him, and he must need the money. And I said, listen, either I buy everything or I buy nothing. And I already had some Bond cars at the time. So she asked him, and he said, yeah, I might sell everything. Everything has a price. And what would that cost? She said it might cost 10 million sterling. And at the time, sterling was 1.60 to American dollars. So in other words, 16 million. I said, oh, heck with it. I'm going to buy the collection. So I called my pilot. We're flying to England, and we flew over there. And I said to the guy, show me what you have and tell me what you want for each car. We wanted 6 million sterling for the cars, so I already had 4 million less to start with. I said, if you take these to auction, you'll need to ship everything and pay 10% to the auction. So here's the deal. I'll give you 5 million sterling right now. And he started to shake because he didn't know what to do. He laughed. He'd been collecting for 30 years, but then he said yes, and I wound up with everything. So now I have the largest collection of James Bond cars in the world. I bought a DB5 from Goldfinger, and I've got about 2,500 pieces in addition to James Bond. We have the largest collection of movie cars and the largest collection of Vespas because, you know, I started with Vespas. I still drive them. Question. What do you do when you look around your collection in your museum? Is it hard to comprehend? A kid from Israel who had to borrow money from his parents just to buy an old beater and now has probably the biggest car collection in the world. Well, listen, I go to Orlando every Wednesday and I go to my museum and I see all the beautiful cars and I say, I can't believe it. I can't believe what I've built. And it's a pleasure. I keep buying more cars. Like, I found a dealer going out of business. I talked to him, and he gave me a good number. So I took 40 cars from him. It's a disease. I mean, it's a sickness. You see these cars, you like them, and you buy them. Sometimes I buy cars off eBay. I don't even look at them. I just buy them. Question, how much do you drive your cars, and do you worry about deterioration after they sit too long? Well, you want to know the truth? Sometimes I buy some things, and I usually drive it. I buy it, I drive it, and then after a couple weeks, I don't. I learned not to worry. Years ago, I had like 5 or 6 mechanics that took care of the cars. Every time something broke, they fixed it. So we decided to fire all those guys. We don't need them. And 50 years of the collection, I've only had one motor seize on a Pontiac. So we put a new motor in. Nothing else has really ever happened. Question. Do you have any upcoming plans for museum? Anything new in the works? Well, yes, I'm opening a nightclub, a restaurant called Al Capone's. You know, they had all those black cars back then from the 30s. I bought about 15 different ones, and they're going to be all over the restaurant and the bar so people can look at them. All right, you're going to die tomorrow, possibly. This is the question. If you're going to die tomorrow and you get to drive one car, what are you going to... and take a car into the world. What are you taking? Well, at one time I collected 59 Cadillacs. I had about 50 of them. I was restoring them. I'd buy one, fix it up, and I said, when I die, I'm going to die inside a 59 Cadillac. I've always loved Cadillacs and Chryslers from 59, 58, and 57. So I guess the answer to that would be a 1959 Cadillac. Well, this gentleman has one of the largest car collections, and I looked. The pictures are stunning. He has everything you might ever think about. So if you're going to be down in Orlando, and I don't plan on being in Orlando anytime soon, but if I do, and when I do, I'm definitely going to go check out Deezerland. The pages of the New York Post, a little weird and unusual automotive news. Rapper and TV star Ice-T calls a policeman some nasty little words during an intense exchange that caught on a body camera video with the rapper and the actor using some not-so-nice words. Well, Ice-T got a little hot. The rapper and Law & Order SUV had a heated exchange with law enforcement in New Jersey. This was all the way back to last May when he was pulled over for expired license plates and he called the police officer some not-so-nice four-letter words. The verbal altercation was caught on body cam footage and was finally obtained by TMZ and YouTube channel Unspoken Crime Murders. And there's lots of videos and lots of audio on this Ice-T in his car. Well, in the video, the Hudson County Sheriff's officers begin by telling the rapper that he is being recorded and has been stopped because he's missing front license plates, which is required in that state, and expired tags. Turns out the tags expired in 2021. Now, Ice-T proceeds to tell the officer that he's on the way to the nearby DMV to update the paperwork on the Porsche, and he tried to resolve the matter at DMV the day before, but they couldn't because their system was down. According to Ice-T, the reason the registration wasn't up to date, because the car has been parked. The policeman asked, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah, of course I'm sure," the rapper responds. "Yesterday I went to DMV, their system was down, so that's why I'm here. I got seven cars. I'm trying to get them all straight." So when asked by the officer what his appointment time was, the SUV star replied, "I don't need one," before adding, "They know me." Prompted to provide his driver's license, Ice-T admitted that his driver's license is also expired. "That's why I'm going to DMV. You have my paperwork. You're fine," he said, before trying to persuade the cop to either follow him to DMV or allow him to park his car where it was stopped and walk to DMV. The sheriff officer doesn't agree with either suggestion. "You got to be serious. What are you going to do with my car?" the cop encounters. "Yeah, this is serious, sir." Visibly frustrated, the actor asks if he's going to take me to jail. "I'm not going to take you to jail," the officer assures him before telling him he's going to tow the car. At that point, Ice-T begins to boil and says, "You're not going to take my blankety-blank vehicle." And he continues, "If I'm not under arrest, I'm getting out of the car." He exits the car, and the Law & Order alum walks to the curb and approaches the law enforcement officer, who warns him, "Don't touch me." He said, "Give me my paperwork, you blankety-blank person," Ice-T tells him. "Give me my blankety-blank paperwork." The rapper then addresses the body cam, looking directly to the lens. "Get this on camera. This blankety-blank. I'm 1 foot away from DMV. You're a blankety-blank." The star goes on to record the cop, who calls him a blankety-blank. With the exchange escalating, backup is called in, and cooler heads prevail as a sergeant arrives on the scene and brokers the peace. The police officer then gives the rapper 4 tickets, driving on a suspended license, improper display, no inspection sticker, and missing front plates. The sergeant tells Ice-T he tried to persuade the officer to reduce the number of citations from 4 to 2, but was unsuccessful. The sheriff allows Ice-T to leave his car parked and walk to DMV to update his license and registrations. The officer who pulled the SUV actor over ends the tense conversation by saying, "Just show some respect next time." Ice-T wasn't feeling the reply. He said, "I don't have to." Well, just because you're a big TV star and a rapper doesn't mean you get special treatment. Treat the police with respect. The show, it's time to talk a little gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is just hovering over $3 a gallon at $3.06. Here in Arizona, our average gas price is actually lower than national average, and that doesn't happen very often. We're at $3.04 a gallon. Our friends over in New Mexico still got us beat at $2.84, $2.91 in Colorado, Utah at $3.05, Nevada at $3.61, California at $4.37, Texas $2.65, Oklahoma $2.57, and Louisiana $2.72. All right, let's see what's going on here with our gas prices here in Arizona. Some cheap gas. How about Eloy, Arizona? The TA Travel Center, $2.23, folks, $2.23. The Love's Travel Stop in Eloy, $2.29. The Quick Trip over in Goodyear on Australia Parkway at $2.29 as well. The Fast Trip in Casa Grande at $2.37. and the Quick Trip at 237 as well. All right, let's see what we can find here in Metro Phoenix for our cheap gas. All right, well, the cheap gas in Metro Phoenix, beside what's going on in Goodyear, the Walmart in Scottsdale on Northside at $2.59, Sam's Club on Market Street in Gilbert at $2.59 as well, Arco on 43rd Avenue at $2.63, the Costco on 33rd Avenue at $2.63 as well. So if you look, folks, there is definitely some cheap gas out there. Just got to find it. Well, it's time for some car talk. Dear car talk, I'm a 72-year-old woman who drives a 2011 Volkswagen Jetta with a 5-speed manual transmission. I love my car. Eventually, I'm going to need a new car, and I'm thinking about a hybrid SUV. I've driven the Honda CR-V. Love it. The Toyota Corolla, too small. I looked at the Kia Sportage, surprised by my visceral negative reaction to the rotary gear shift. My husband was shocked when I told him that was a deal breaker. What's your opinion of the rotary gear shifts, and what would be the best hybrid SUV for me? And that's Nancy. Well, I don't particularly like the rotary gear shifts either, Nancy, mechanically or in terms of durability, but there's nothing wrong with them. Automatic transmissions used to be shifted by cables. In reality, now, that's automatic transmissions are all electronic controlled, so the shifter has to do is send a signal to the transmission controller. That means you don't need a lever to move a cable anymore. It's just a switch. And I've driven Hondas and Lincolns with push-button selectors, and I've also driven cars with rotary controllers. Mechanically, they all work fine. Now, the advantage of the compact controller, besides the styling distinction, is they take up a lot less space inside the cabin. That means the designers can use that extra space for things you might want, like storage bins and phone charging pads and Italian espresso makers. So, the thing I don't like about the new controller is it requires you to look at them. The old style automatic shifter to the right puts it in the right gear with my eyes closed, with my eyes on the road in that situation, becoming useful if you have to make a quick back and forth move or drive from drive to reverse, or you're making a multi-point U-turn in traffic, or you're navigating a tight parking spot. I still find the lever more useful, but I have to admit I have gotten used to the rotary controllers pretty quickly. I still say I don't like the push buttons, but it's your car, Nancy, and if it's a deal breaker for you, then don't buy it. No justification required. Hundreds of cars on the market. Don't like it is all you have to say. Now, if you like the Honda CR-V with the traditional console lever, it's a great car, and I'm sure you'll spend happy miles slamming your car back and forth between park and drive. Good luck. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big fan of the knobs and the buttons, but I think you will eventually get used to them, and that's the big thing, because you do have to make sometimes some invasive movers and move quickly from park to drive. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.